coming up on Patriots This Week. It's back to work in Foxborough. But what did you do during the bye?
Relax, watch movies, and just chill.
After three games, the Patriots led the NFL in average points per game, total yards, and passing yards. And Tom Brady seems to have at least slowed down the calendar.
You just got to believe in what you're doing, believe in your process.
Now it's on to Dallas, America's team, Jerry's World. But the Patriots know on a business trip, you've got to take care of business.
My mindset and everybody else's mindset should be just go down there and play football.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
The Patriots may have had week four off, but they still came out winners as one AFC East rival hit the restart button and another hit the self-destruct button. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Patriots This Week. Bob Socio along with Scott Zolak, former Pats quarterback and my radio broadcast partner and a three-time Super Bowl champion as a former Patriots linebacker, Matt Chatham. Guys, we'll talk about the AFC East in a short while, but let's talk about the Patriots and their bye week. They've gone 2-2 the last four games coming out of a bye. This is a team that's trying to sustain the momentum built up through three games with 119 points scored in their unbeaten start.
Yeah, I mean, I would be worried about this team coming off the bye, Matt. And you know what it's like coming off the bye with Bill Belichick. If they didn't show up against Jacksonville, the fact they came out and they were stinging right from the get-go against Jacksonville tells me it's a different type of team. It's focused, that the bye's not going to affect them. They had 4 days off. They got away. At least Tom Brady got to go to his sister's wedding, and a couple guys got out of town, and maybe they did some shopping for Halloween, bought some candy. You know.
I think there are places where the bye is a bye. This isn't one of them. I mean, you certainly get the league-mandated amount of time off, but it is a, you know, we talk about business trips when they travel. It's a business week off. They're still getting work done, and again, I think it also helps that, as Zoe mentioned, you had a nice thing sort of bookending. On the front end, you had a great win, no reason to let down, and you got a team that's a really big profile team coming on the other end and a great big road trip down to sort of to Jerry's World. So I think there's plenty of things to keep you interested and keep you focused.
You've played against Dallas. I mean, Teddy Bruschi, so I've heard Teddy talk about everybody likes to beat the Dallas Cowboys. You want to give it to them. Jerry Jones likes running his mouth. It's a great stadium down there. You just want to go down there, show up.
Center stage.
Yeah. So take care of business.
So the team didn't play, and the front office staff and head coach Bill Belichick got a lot of work done. They were anything but inactive with several moves trying to bolster the defense in particular. Right. They pick up John Bostic, a linebacker from the Bears. They make the trade with the Saints, sending the Who Man to New Orleans for Akeem Hicks. And they activate Kyrie Thornton, a former high draft pick of the Green Bay Packers, from their practice squad.
You know, you look at that as far as pounds, 639 pounds they added, you know, in a short couple days because they have four games in 19 days. It's a big stretch, and it's a great job by this organization, the way they adapt to their schedule and how Bill plans for the schedule. I mean, you've seen it.
Yeah, so you put a little corral around that little mini season. It was the three games on the front end. Those have nothing to do with this. Now you've got the NFC East. So you got the Eagles, you got the Cowboys, you got the Redskins, you got the Giants. They play an entirely different style.
I think the
sub versus regular, in other words, like regular defense where you have three linebackers on the field, sub where you have more of the little dudes, it was almost an 80-20 split through these first three games. Don't expect that going forward. You're going to need more of the big bodies, as Zoe mentioned. You're going to need more of the linebackers on the field.
Defensive coordinators had the dilemma the first few weeks of dealing with four tight ends on the field. But as mentioned, Michael Ho'omanalanui is now in New Orleans. There's no fullback on this team at the moment. So how do the Patriots manage those multiple tight ends going forward? What do you foresee there?
I'm disappointed because I finally learned how to pronounce his name after about 3 or 4 years. But, I mean, they threw the ball to Michael Williams, you know, 2 weeks ago, and it's kind of a sign of things to come. They have the ability to bring in guys like Cam Fleming. I mean, you know, they'll bring in Gronkowski. They started to move him out of the backfield. It's other ways to keep Rob, I think, from getting that jam at the line of scrimmage. They don't need a fullback, let's face it. They're going to put Brady in the gun. They're going to throw it. This is not a running team. And if they're going to run it, you put LeGarrette or Brandon in there and just hand them the football.
LeGarrette Blount had the most production we've seen of this season, and he really didn't get any carries in the first half. Yeah. He ends up three touchdowns just showing up in the second half, more or less. So Kadett was also another guy that's off the roster now. And I think it's telling that there. You look at the running back group, and that thins slightly. You widen the linebacker group a little bit. The D-line gets a little thicker. So I think it just shows you a shift in what they see coming on the horizon and the kind of team they'll be offensively. They're not going to feature, you know, five running backs on game day, fullback or otherwise.
People who cover the league outside of New England marvel at guys like Deion Lewis who come into the Patriots and succeed. Mm-hmm. There's one common denominator, though, the last decade and a half, aside from the head coach Bill Belichick, that's the quarterback Tom Brady. How instrumental is he to the success of the guys in the backfield, the guys in the receiving corps, who might not have found their niche elsewhere, but do here?
What's so great about Tom is that he gets people where they need to be. He finds the mismatch. He puts them in a place where they'll be successful. There's plenty of guys on this roster or any roster, if they weren't in the position they were in, they wouldn't look as good. You know, they wouldn't be as successful. But for whatever reason, the quarterback knows, hey, there's the weakness. Let's shift. Let's change motion. We'll change the protection. Guys are going to be where they can get the most done.
And you don't have a $12 or $14 million running back where you've got to be creative to try and get him the ball. If you can't run it, we got to screen it to him. You got a bunch of guys that you don't want to say are underpaid, but they fit the budget nicely, and you got a quarterback that's kind of directed traffic. So.
Patriots again at 3-0. You look around the AFC East, you've got the Jets continuing to play well with their route of the Dolphins across the pond in London.
I just laugh at the AFC East because it's
and
just...
And Dolphins, of course, continue to flounder. It cost Joe Philbin his job this past week.
I think that's accurate. I think if we look at the situation, it's really sort of three separate stories. Obviously, with the Bills, they had their moment. They built up the Patriot game a little bit too much. Didn't have it happen for them. And they've had a lot of injuries. I think this is probably the most critical thing that's gone on with them. No LeSean McCoy and no Sammy Watkins. Remembering that they traded up, gave up a bunch of assets to get that guy, and neither of them are on the field for them. The Jets, I think there's maybe something there. I'm not talking about winning divisions or anything like that, but they're going to be a competitive team, might end up as a 9-7, 10-6, maybe 11-5 if the schedule falls the correct way for them. Dolphins, hot mess. I mean, I just think that eventually a move had to be made, because when you see players stop buying in for what the coaches preach, and it doesn't mean that Joe Philbin is not a good man, not a good coach, but when you've lost the team, they just had to make the move.
Matt mentioned injuries for the Bills, a lot of self-inflicted wounds as well. 17 accepted penalties in the loss to the Giants.
Well, I mean, hey, when the refs come to not watch the game but just want to throw flags, like Rex likes to say, and, you know, you listen to him in the post game, and he's talked to other coaches how to fix it. You know, he's talked to other veteran assistants on the team. He's called the league. He's done everything except tell his football team, hey, guys, cut the crap. Let's go. It's a mindset. Same thing as turnovers. Everybody likes to talk about ball pressure with turnovers. That's why teams don't fumble. No, it's the fear of losing your job. Right. Sit guys down if they continue to commit turnovers and penalties, multiple offenders. And that's what I'm talking about here. The Bills are multiple offenders, and they have taken on the personality of their head coach. He wants a tough team. He wants to have a playbook where you open up the playbook and it's a rock fight where, okay, you pick up rock, you hit opponent with rock. That's not football. Football's changed. The game's changed. And he doesn't have a good team. He doesn't have a smart football team.
You can play tough. You can play the rock style, but tough has to be coupled with smart. Tough and dumb doesn't work.
And upon return on Patriots This Week, we'll see just how much these two guys who generally live by the golden rule know about the NFL rulebook.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management, remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of. Waste Management's new Bagster, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on Keyshawn Martin. Just days after being acquired in a trade with Houston, the 5'11", 194-pound receiver instantly contributed. The 25-year-old out of Michigan State had immediate chemistry with Tom Brady. The fourth-year pro had three receptions against the Jaguars, including a 13-yard touchdown. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
We welcome you back to the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios and Patriots This Week, along with Matt Chatham and Scott Zolak, Bob Sosian. Guys, the Seattle Seahawks got away with one on Monday Night Football against the Detroit Lions. K.J. Wright bats a fumble out of the end zone, and instead of Detroit with a goal to go inside the one, Seattle celebrates a victory.
There's a lot of things to look at there. Should Megatron have protected the football a little bit more? Should he have gone over it with two hands like we see Julian Edelman do each and every Sunday? But, Matt, I don't know about you. As a defensive player, you know, the ball's in the end zone. I just look at that as a natural reaction to knock that ball out. He's defending the ball, defending his goal line, get the ball out of bounds. I think it's a bad rule.
I definitely agree with you it's a bad rule. But I guess as a defender, you're kind of always taught that if you don't know, and these things happen so fast. I mean, it's real easy for us to sit back here and critique it, but you usually say just possess the ball. You know, don't try to flip to page 78 in your head and something like that's happening that quickly. Possess it. Yep. If you possess it, you're fine.
Well, your former coach, Pete Carroll, now, of course, head coach of the Seahawks, didn't know the rule.
Of course he did.
Your former coach, Bill Belichick, we presume, did. And he was very informative this week about the process the Patriots go through when it comes to educating rookies on the difference between college rules and NFL rules. And he also talked at length about educating newcomers to the Patriots about the NFL rulebook. Because, as we've seen, guys around the league don't know the rules.
So this is the way it works. In this particular organization, you come in. Well, throughout the offseason, they build sort of a library. Ball plays from the year before that you might only see once in a season, so they want you to be exposed to them. But each day when you come in here, maybe on a Monday after a game, and you come and review the film, Bill will come back in as the work week starts, and he'll have another 3, 4, 5 weird plays that happen from around the league and say, hey, did you see this game, the Steelers-Browns game, and this goofy thing happened? Now, in the event that this happens to us, here's how we're going to do it. When we do situational practices out on the field, he'll simulate it. He'll throw it in. He'll put up the same amount of time and just make sure that it carried over from in there to out on the field.
What about the Seahawks, defending NFC champions, of course, 2 years removed from a Super Bowl title? Long-term concerns for this team going forward. They haven't necessarily gotten over the hump, have they?
Granted, Marshawn Lynch did not play in a football game. They're down to their third back. You can look at Russell Wilson and say, okay, let's put everything on his shoulders. That's not his DNA. That's not what he's built to do. He's built to manage the game, hand the ball off, run great play action, misdirection, get outside the pocket and make plays. He's not a 6'5", 245-pound quarterback. It's going to be your quintessential pocket passer. So it seems like, until they get Marshawn back and get this thing cranked up again, I still think they got enough athletes, enough players that they're going to win the West. Arizona got punched in the mouth last week. I'm tired of everybody saying, well, Carson Palmer's found his coach and Bruce Arians. That's great and all until you get hit in the mouth. And that's what St. Louis did to him.
The thing I look at with the Seahawks is that's a team that was a little bit of a question mark going into that game, and then they score, 13 points against the Detroit Lions, who have had trouble stopping anyone at home with Cam Chancellor and all that. You're absolutely right that there's no Marshawn Lynch, but what they have is a mismatch of personnel. You have Jimmy Graham, who cannot be a part of your core. You have to spread him out. So all of a sudden, you're playing a lot of no tight end offense to try to run the football, which is very tough. So what teams do is they pack the box. They show you blitz looks and other kind of pressure looks that Russell Wilson can't handle. So each time pressure comes, he bails. One guy gets beat, he bails. He misses so many things in front of his face. And to say he's a limited player that's exceptional at cleaning up his own messes. I'll put it that way. Like he doesn't see a lot of easy things, but he's better than almost anyone else at getting out of those situations. So it's sort of a lot of pluses, a lot of minuses kind of deals.
Well, the Cowboys are without their quarterback. When the Patriots go to Big D, D is for depleted as much as it is for Dallas. We'll talk about that game coming up next on Patriots This Week.
Okay, it's Dallas week. No Tony Romo, no Dez Bryant, but they do have a Hall of Fame player, Jason Witten. Let's take a look at the big tight end. We like tight ends in New England, but they have the ability to flex this guy out. But numbers, watch the numbers, watch the route. You see him get to the bottom of those numbers. That's a great job knowing spacing in the passing game. And here he is right here. What do they do a lot? Dallas has done this for years. 13 years this guy has flexed out. You put a linebacker out, you widen the defensive end. That's not good enough. Patriots, I guarantee you, are going to have a safety down to not let this guy get a free release. We talk about this with Gronkowski each and every week. Here you go. You got Romo checking off. I mean, here's a simple move inside. This is Tony Gonzalez-esque, basketball-type player. Knows where the goal line is, sits down, good spot for him. And right here, watch the motion. You mean to tell me you're going to run behind this guy, get picked by another linebacker, and let an all-world tight end catch a ball in the flat? Nope. Matt Patricia will be ready for that guy. Jason Witten, hit him at the line. Here's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
We are back in the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. Patriots This Week continues, and the Pats, coming off the bye, are headed to Dallas to take on the Cowboys. Before the season began, this was a marquee matchup for the entire season in the NFL. Dallas got off to the 2-0 start, but the Cowboys, without Tony Romo, without Dez Bryant, sustained more losses in a defeat at New Orleans on Sunday night.
We were excited when the schedule came out. That's the one you circled, and you thought, boy, that's the first heavyweight tilt. I'm anxious to go down. I've never been to the stadium. I want to get a new belt buckle, a big 10-gallon hat. I mean, I have a lot of respect for Dallas. I mean, every time we've seen him, and it's been brief. I mean, we saw him up here several years ago. And you just see guys like Jason Witten, the size of him, the size of their offensive line. I look at the Giants the same way, Matt. They're big physical teams. You mentioned the NFC East. You got to get ready to play this division because they're going to try and run the football on you. You better be ready up front. And you're not going to put this game in Brad and Brandon Whedon's hands. And this will be a big game for guys like Jerod Mayo. I think he should get some more snaps in this game. Control the middle, be the Mike, Hightower and Collins. So you got to be able to set that edge and control the middle of that field.
Down there, Big D, there's a little bit of consternation about what's going on with the running game now. Joseph Randle had the issue last week against the Saints where he reached across and there was a fumble. It was reviewed. They kept it, but he got his butt chewed when he came off the field. Darren McFadden is still there, but been lightly used. I think he's really the best thing they got. I wouldn't be surprised if you see much more of Randle. Dunbar gets hurt, ACL out for the season. This Michael Michelle guy, or whatever, from Seattle's down there, who they used in one snap as a short yardage back a week ago. Somehow, some way, they got to run the football. That's, as Zoe mentioned, it's not going to be Whedon and seven-step drop. But Whedon can be very efficient. You know, he's had some games where it's like he's 20 for 24, but it's more controlled passing because they have the run game.
Yeah, a lot of checkdowns until that final drive in the fourth quarter at New Orleans. 91-yard drive engineered by Brandon Whedon. What did you see from him?
I think he's steady. I think he's a decent backup. It's not like he's thrown for 100. He's still over 200 a game, which tells you he can function. And given some of the plays we've given up down the field, there's some concern there. You got to watch this Williams kid. I take Malcolm Butler, put him on Williams, shut everybody else down, bring Jamie Collins on Jason Witten's side, and then just kind of anchor your front back.
It's a weird week. As Zoe mentions, there you kind of are throwing names out there. Are you going to take the Williams kid? Are you going to take Cole Beasley in the slot if he gets in the game? Exactly. The point is, it's not
Edelman with hair. It's not even close to Edelman, okay?
No, of course.
I heard that comparison.
Yeah,
of course. Okay?
Well, don't they do that every time?
You should bring Edelman water.
Fair
skin
fellow, yeah. But the point is, this is, to me, more of a beat the scheme, not beat the guy. You know, we always talk about they got to take away player X.
Right.
You definitely, as Zoe shows in his Zoe show, that you have to account for Jason Witten. But it's situational. This is not Jason of 3 or 4 years ago. He's had bad ankles for a couple weeks. He's a little banged up. But when it becomes stick situations, in other words, first down depth, it's third and eight, he's at the eight. You know, he's going to be at eight. If there's some sort of downfield play where they're going to work him in the seam, that'll be situationally in red zone stuff, deep in the red zone. When he's got to have moments, pay attention to him.
It's going to take 3 or 4 series into this game to figure out what are they doing with Greg Hardy?
Yeah,
what are they doing with Rolando
McClain?
Yeah. And check and see if they're tired. Check and see if they have football legs, because if not, this could be a big LeGarrette Blount type game where you run at those guys and you kind of grind them down, up-tempo things. We've seen Brady handle the up-tempo. I wouldn't worry about noise in that place. I mean, if you could go into Buffalo and function the way they in Buffalo, you could go on the road anywhere and have success.
The Cowboys may very well be without Sean Lee, the quarterback of that defense, who's had so many injury problems throughout his career, most recently a concussion that kept him out most of the New Orleans game.
He's far more helpful if Brady goes to this sort of spread stuff, because Sean Lee is much rangier guy. McClain is more of like your Brandon Spikes. He's more of a thumper. He's more of a pursuit tackler kind of guy. That's a guy that you might want to spread out. McClain's brand new and back. If you're going to put him in a situation and ask him to match Lewis or something along those lines, it's certainly advantage Patriots.
So just how much success do you expect Mac Chatham? We'll have your prediction along with Zoe's right after this on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Larry Fitzgerald is averaging more than 100 yards per game. So start Fitzgerald when the Cards take on a struggling Lions secondary in Detroit. Keep running back Carlos Hyde on the bench. The Niners have struggled offensively, and it won't get any easier when San Francisco goes cross-country to face the number one rushing defense in the NFL in the New York Giants. And if you're looking for a sleeper, TJ Yeldon is coming off his best game as a pro, cracking the 100-yard mark against the Colts. This week's Fantasy Update is brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
Inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios, 3-0 Patriots going to 2-2 Dallas. Scott Zolak, what's going to be the outcome?
Outcome will be 37-13. Patriots by 24 in this game. Everybody sitting down at home, impact player, Aaron Dobson. He's going to have 6 catches for about 120 yards and 1 touchdown. He's going to be getting, and you mentioned it in the last segment, kind of that fourth, fifth guy. It's going to get forgotten about, and Brady's going to find him.
I like that. I'll go to the other side of the ball. I go 31-19 Patriots. My player of the game is going to actually be Gerard Mayo. I think this is the kind of game where, as a vet, a pro, a guy that's as good a player as he is, who's had limited opportunities through three, he's going to have that extra juice. He's going to get involved. Watching him meet Darren McFadden in a hole, maybe stripping a ball out, getting some sort of punch play, getting the ball off Whedon, something like that. A very active Mayo in this game down in Dallas.
Patriots' first visit ever to AT&T Stadium. Can't wait. Of course, next week this time, we'll talk about the Pats and the Cowboys after the fact. Yeah. And preview the Patriots at Indianapolis with Matt Chatham.
We call that homecoming. Okay? Next week.
And Scott Solak. I'm Bob Soci. Thanks for joining us on Patriots This Week. So long, everyone.